Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Last week on our program, we began looking at the titles given to the Messiah prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah is one of the prophets who foretold the coming of the Messiah, or the Christ. He is often called the Messianic prophet because he spoke so frequently about the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Here in Isaiah 9, verse 6, Isaiah uses four or five titles to describe the coming king. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." With each one of these titles, Isaiah reveals something wonderful about Jesus and what he would do for us. Last week, we looked at the titles Wonderful, Counselor, and Mighty God, and considered what they meant. Well, today we want to consider the titles Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Now notice, the Messiah would be called Everlasting Father. Well, in what sense is he called Father? Well, first let me mention that the title Everlasting Father is often misused by those who deny the Trinity. You see, there are those who deny that there are three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the Godhead. They believe that there is only one being, one personality who is God, and each of these titles, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is simply a different way of referring to the same person. They would cite this passage here in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 to prove that Jesus, the Christ, is the same as the Father, since he would be called Everlasting Father. Now, the Bible teaches that there is but one God, one Godhead. But there are three personalities who make up the one Godhead. This is the idea of the Trinity, the union of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in one Godhead. Let us look at some passages to prove this. You know, we see three distinct persons at Jesus' baptism. In Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now in this scene, we see Jesus, the Messiah, being baptized. And secondly, we see the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and alighting upon Jesus. And then we hear the voice of God the Father from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." These are three distinct beings. In Ephesians 4 and verse 3, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, this unity is based upon the following unifying facts. As Paul says in verses 4 through 6, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Now notice, there is one Spirit, he says. That's the Holy Spirit. But in addition to that, he says there is one Lord. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one God and Father of all. And so here we have the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches clearly that Jesus, the Son, and the Father are two distinct beings. Look with me at several passages. In John 1, verses 1 and 2, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Now notice, he who was God was with God. Also, when Jesus was praying to the Father recorded in John chapter 17, he said, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Well, this involves Jesus, the Son, and another, the Father with whom he was. We also read in Scripture that the Father sent the Son. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 42, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Jesus also said in John 6 and verse 38, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, this involves two, the one sent and the one who sent him. And Jesus says that he did not come to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. And so there are two wills represented here, the will of Jesus and the will of the one who sent him. And Jesus is saying that he submits to the will of the other. There's no question that there are two persons represented in these passages. We see there are two distinct persons when we read of Jesus praying to the Father. In Luke 22, verse 42, at Gethsemane, it says that Jesus knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Well, this involves the one who prayed and the one to whom he prayed. And again, two wills are represented here, my will and your will. Jesus prayed while on the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23, verse 46. Again, you have the one praying and the one to whom he is praying. And indicated here is the spirit of the one who is praying being committed into the hands of another, the one to whom he is praying. This is clear indication that the Father and the Son are two distinct beings. Also in John 8, verses 17 and 18, Jesus says, It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Now Jesus says two witnesses are required. The two witnesses he presents are himself and the Father who sent him. If the Father and Jesus the Son are one being, one person, then Jesus misrepresented the truth here. But Jesus didn't misrepresent the truth. The Father and Jesus the Son are two distinct persons, and therefore two witnesses. But that brings us back to our initial question. In what sense is the Messiah called Everlasting Father? It is not saying that he is the same person as the Father, but it is saying that the Messiah would be a father to us. A similar idea is found in the book of Genesis where Joseph says that God had made him a father to Pharaoh, Genesis 45 verse 8. Well, this coming Savior would be like a father to us, his children. Think of what a father does for his children, provider, protector, teacher, example, comforter, counselor. Jesus is all these to us. He is father to us. But notice that Isaiah says that he is the everlasting Father. Because Jesus is everlasting Father, he will always be there. You know, even the most devoted fathers cannot do this. If we live long enough, there will come a day when our earthly fathers will not be there for us, a day when we will have to bury them. Well, Jesus is the everlasting Father who will always be there to provide for us and protect us through all our days. Because he is the everlasting Father, we can always lean on him. Isaiah also says, back here in Isaiah 9 verse 6, that the Messiah would be called Prince of Peace. Now this title speaks to Jesus' purpose for coming. His mission was a peace mission. In Ephesians 2 verses 14 through 18, the Apostle Paul says, For he himself, that is Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now Paul here speaks of two kinds of peace that Jesus brought. First, both Jews and Gentiles are able to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You know, when I choose to live in sin, I put myself in conflict with God. Such sin separates me from God. I make myself an enemy of God. But Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 10, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." To be reconciled is to change from enmity to friendship. We who are enemies of God because of our sins can be reconciled to God. How? Well, through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Through his death on the cross, Jesus provided a way to tear down the barrier that stands between God and man, that is sin. When we are cleansed of our sins by his blood in baptism, the barrier is removed and we are reconciled to God. We can have peace with God. Think about it. This was his purpose for coming, as announced by the prophet long ago. He came and died so we can have peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But this is not the only kind of peace that Jesus provides. Again, back in Ephesians 2 verses 14 through 18, Paul describes how Jesus made peace between Jews and Gentiles. He broke down the barrier between Jews and Gentiles. You see, Jesus has one family that everyone can be a part of. There was not one family for Jews and another for Gentiles. There's not one for whites and another one for blacks, Hispanics, and Asians. We are one body, one family in Christ, because Jesus made peace between men. And the Prince of Peace gives us instruction of how his people are to be at peace. He demands that we be at peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, "Be at peace among yourselves." Ephesians 4 verse 3 says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." This is something that we must endeavor to do. We must work at. God's people need to think about that. When we do things that unnecessarily stir up trouble among God's people, we are working against the Prince of Peace and against his desires for his people. And there is another peace that the Lord provides. He provides for peace of mind. Jesus said to the apostles in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, when I know things are right between me and God, when I know that he will never leave me nor forsake me, when I have heaven as my hope, then I am able to be at peace no matter what my circumstances are in life. We see all around us people who are filled with mental turmoil. Their lives are ruled by fear and anxiety. But those who follow Jesus have a peace that no one can take away from them, a peace that comes to those who serve the Prince of Peace. Maybe you know about this mental turmoil we have described. Maybe you have been living it every day. Have you had enough? Well, there is an answer. The prophet Isaiah announced that a child would be born, a son given to us. This child would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He gives us peace with God, peace with one another, and a peace within ourselves. You can have that peace if you will allow him to rule in your life. Why not come to Jesus today? If you would like to study with us personally, we would be more than happy to study with you. Just give us a call at 573-265-8628. If you get the answering machine, just leave your name and telephone number, and we'll be glad to get back with you. That number again is 573-265-8628. Or you may email us at sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Again, thank you for listening, and join us next week for Bible Talk.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.